understanding capitalism as a world phenomenon that has a lifespan that is now coming to a close is accurate if insufficient. Through the lens of the global systems analysis that Wallerstein gives, we can see the present geopolitical scene, the freneticism and aggressiveness of the power guy's present actions in its proper context. Its lens helps us understand why the global statesmen are responding so fiercely to the dramatic growth of our capacity, sparked by the Egyptian Revolution and its demonstration of the powerful new evolution organizing tools now in our possession. Evolution, not revolution. Remember, one of the key elements was uniting of the Egyptian Revolution was uniting across false divisions, so-called business folk with everyday folk, men and women standing together. Our new capacity to see the global statesmen and their growing vulnerability with the collapse of so-called capitalism globally, see these folk globally, allows us to understand how, why it is they would want more fluid and maneuverable means to respond to our rapid intellectual growth, as it is by controlling our thoughts that they control us, as a result of the flowering of our global consciousness, our growth growing, and that they would necessarily perceive the need for tighter containment devices and methods, hence why they were determined not to let Hillary Clinton become president. They were not going to let that happen. It never occurred to me, though, that they would install in the way that they did by sucking up with their drones. I mean, I have to tell you, it's not just at the upload site where I go to upload that they drones hovering in the distance to target me mainly. Because at my home, I'm as I've said before on this show, there are clearly two systems on the laptop that I use. One I can never shut off. And so they are in my machine. And they are getting my files before I even leave the house. But I know their capacity to wirelessly, through the machine's internal capability that they've put in there, wirelessly. Nikola Tesla handed what they look at it as being handed their throne, that they are unbeatable thanks to him. They took his knowledge and ran with it, as we'll talk about in a minute. He gave them their first tools over 100 years ago, so you can bet. The capability today is something we can no longer let them have if we want there to be such a thing as humanity that self-develops, that evolves, that develops its heart, its spirit, its love. So they necessarily have decided they need much more robust predictive power so that they can anticipate what we're going to do in real time. They really are obsessing on the having on time, in real time data as to what we are doing, and they are really working on what we are thinking, our actions toward evolution. This is why they want total surveillance to mean total ability to forestall our growth. People who get us thinking like Prince are threats. Prince is a massive threat because he not just got us thinking, he told us what to do. But anybody who gets us thinking, period, they consider poses a risk to them. We are not supposed to think. Emmanuel Wallerstein, in order to not ever challenge them. Emmanuel Wallerstein's analysis, world systems theory, is important for reasons we've discussed before, but which bear repeating in the somewhat different language we've been developing that incorporates what we've been learning from Prince, Proudhon, Popper, Bentham, Nikola Tesla, and Alice Miller. It busts our thought out of that panopticon by allowing us to think from the vantage of the whole, taking the long historical and wide global and deep geopolitical view of what we think of as capitalist, and allows us to see ourselves placed within it as a necessary global actor confronting power guys who are very, and for some time, self-consciously global. Allows us to recognize ourselves as a necessary counter to ruthless power. Because he takes a systems approach, his analysis necessarily merges the economic with the geopolitical, which necessarily then exposes hidden global power, a lens we need for getting free. And while the world systems lens is key, it's key for reasons not usually seen. It's key because class is totalitarian. And so we do take issue with some of world systems theory's stances, in particular the veneer of science that it grants to our conditioned understanding of economics, and by extension, an unintentional coat of legitimacy to the notion of capitalism as originally serving, in some sense, and this is the Marxist influence, in some sense serving our, we the people's, interests, even though it is now, in the theory goes, at a point in its lifespan in which it has become erisithon and is now eating itself. The term Wallerstein has for this is financialization. And while I deeply appreciate its usefulness for smashing through the notion of the nation-state frame as one we the people can work effectively in to obtain our freedom, what is not thought through in Wallerstein's analysis, so far as I can see, and absolutely needed for us to build sufficient certainty, i.e. a critical mass of unequivocal freedom actors, is the answer to the question, as capitalism is doomed, and for me it is the fact that the ideology is doomed, as the ideology of communism is doomed for the Chinese rulers, is doomed, that is most significant, an ideology premised on the continuous consumption of the planet, i.e. on a lie, which would necessarily, as it means keeping us in chains and boxes, us in chains and boxes, us in chains and boxes. And for me, it's the fact that the ideology is doomed that's most significant. An ideology premised on the continuous consumption of the planet, i.e. on a lie, which would necessarily, as it means keeping us in chains and boxes, lead to the earth becoming a barren rock, because only we, off-leash, can replenish her, our earth, refill her lungs with oxygen, end parasitism on her, allow her heart to beat again unhindered. So, the question becomes, within Wallerstein's analysis, with capitalism shredded and the stakes so high, what happens to the global state guys so accustomed to hiding behind it? The power guys have been obsessing on the question, there is absolutely no doubt, and the answer we can now see clearly all around us. And while Trump, the tool, was probably not originally in their scheme, good grief, have their fiction writers, think tank analysts, been laboring double time to adapt their script. They've been very inventive with it. What they've given us, we need a good metaphor. Let's think of one. What they've given us we'll call bad daddy, good daddy. Guess which one Trump is? Guess which one we're supposed to want? At least long enough to get them through this rough patch for them, so they can automate us out of existence as self-determined humans.
But we need a metaphor that captures the element of provoking, pulling out, and absorbing, of drawing to itself all of our ire, sort of like the police are supposed to do, except then the device requires a poof, begoning act, taking with it for a time the ire. What do we call that? It's an open question whether this disappearing act means actual withdrawal from the office or whether it might mean being reformed as a result of, in quotes, the pressure from the people and or of pressure from the good daddies. What we have to always remember about these power guys, is that it is critical to their sense of themselves that they be perceived as saviors. Another debt of understanding we owe to Karl Popper and his explanation of yet another of their internalizations of Plato, that the rulers must see themselves and be perceived as a quote-unquote superior master race.